weird. Some days you're okay and you're doing just fine. Other days it still hurts like it's fresh. It's a process with no definitive time frame. You just have to keep going and know that when all is said and done, you're going to be okay.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Navigating Life with Neurodiversity, the podcast where we dive deep into the raw and real experiences of neurodivergent life. I'm Matt. If you are new here, I talk about the struggles, the strengths, and the messy in-between of living my life with neurodivergence. Today's episode is a personal one. It's something I spent a lot of time trying to understand about myself, why I cling to certain people. Some people will call it dependency. Some people will say it's attachment issues. For me, it is far more complex than that. For me, it is survival. I want to start with a simple question. Have you ever met someone who just gets you? Someone who makes the world feel a little less overwhelming? These people are what I refer to as social safety blankets. I have several within my life. They know who they are. To spare them from embarrassment, I'm not going to name them. But whether they be work colleagues, whether they be university friends, or whether they be people back home, they exist. And my life would be far more difficult without them. For me, navigating the world as someone with an autism spectrum disorder, savant syndrome, my life is like walking a tightrope. I can excel in high-pressure environments, like my job within the ambulance service. But when it comes to social interactions, to emotions and relationships, it is a battlefield. It is a war zone inside my head. And here's the thing. When I find someone who makes that battlefield feel a little safer, I hold on. It's not because I necessarily want to. I feel like I need to. Let's break this down. A lot of neurotypical people can float between social groups. They can adjust to different dynamics. They regulate their emotions without an awful lot of conscious effort. However, for me, social interactions are like running a marathon with no training. It's exhausting. And if you know me, I am far from trained for a marathon. But this is where my person comes in. The one that I would instinctively gravitate towards. They act as a guide and a translator for the social world, as well as a buffer against the overwhelming chaos. I often look to these people for approval that I am behaving in an acceptable or normal manner. And I will run certain thoughts past these people before acting on them. Sometimes to them, it probably feels like they're babysitting an adult. But for me, it is a vital tool. Something that I'm incredibly grateful for. But here's the kicker. It's not that I don't want the independence. Like, I do. I desperately crave it. But without that person, I feel lost. Isn't about me being weak. I've said this on many episodes. It is my brain being wired differently. Now here's the hard part. What happens when that person leaves? Maybe they get overwhelmed. Maybe they don't understand why I am relying on them so much. Or maybe, in the worst cases, they use it against me. I've been there. I've been in relationships, both romantic and platonic, where my need for stability was manipulated, where my loyalty has been used as a tool against me, where my openness with the people that I trust has been discussed behind my back and used to mock me. That is the dark side of this. When you rely on someone so much, it gives them power. And not everybody uses that power with kindness. To quote Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. And the pedants among you will tell me that I'm quoting Uncle Ben and not Spider-Man. So what do I do? How do I find balance? That's the part I'm still working on. You know, if you're anything like me, but maybe you are too. I'm learning that while my social safety blankets help me navigate the world, I do also need to learn how to stand on my own. But this doesn't mean forcing independence before I'm ready. It doesn't mean pretending I don't need support. It means recognizing my needs. It means learning how to communicate them, and most importantly, building a network of people rather than putting all of this pressure on one single point of reliance. I am also learning that the right people, the ones who truly care, will want to help. These people won't make me feel guilty for needing it, and that is the big difference. I guess my final thoughts on this, if you can relate to this, I see you. I know how hard it is to feel like you're too much for people. You're not broken, you're not a burden, your need for support is valid. What we can do together is find ways to build a life that doesn't crumble when one person steps away. It is a process, and as someone with rejection sensitivity disorder, when that one person steps away, I can find that crushing. And we will touch on that more in future episodes. I do truly believe, though, that we can get there. That's it for today's episode of Navigating Life with Neurodiversity. If this resonated with you, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Send me a message, share your story, or just know that you're not alone in this. But if you enjoyed today's episode, please consider sharing it. Please consider subscribing and leaving a review. It really helps out this podcast to grow and reach other people that might need it. Until next time, take care of yourselves and remember, you are not alone.
One of the hardest pills I had to swallow this year was realizing I meant nothing to people. It meant the absolute fucking world to me.
We've been swinging and missing.